Investor Brand Network, IBN, a multifaceted communications organization engaged in connecting public companies to the investment community, is pleased to announce the launch of the Stock to Me podcast as part of its sustained audio communications effort to provide specialized content distribution via widespread syndication channels. The following Stock to Me podcast is an Investor Brand Network audio production and may feature a client partner of IBN. Investor Brand Network may have been compensated for the production of this podcast. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure. Thank you, and here today is your host of the Stock to Me podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Stock to Me podcast brought to you by the Investor Brand Network, where we want to speak with some of the great thinkers of today, the forward-looking people, the forward-looking thinkers. And boy, I got to tell you, our guest today, author, speaker, producer, documentary film director, television producer, all one and the same, Brant Penvidik. Brant, how are you today?
Man, I am doing fantastic, ready to dive deep.
I know that you come out of bed every morning shot out of a cannon, and I know that because I'm looking at how prolific you are with what you create on a daily basis. But let's jump into first this incredible book. You are the author of The 3-Minute Rule. Easy read, listeners. Very easy read, but so much to take away from it. Brant, you've got a big history. Let's start a little bit with your history, then pour into this book, The 3-Minute Rule. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Brant.
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up in Canada. I was a serial entrepreneur, mostly failed, and never could get anything right. But one of the things I learned early was, because I was raising money and I had projects, is I learned that if people felt that I really needed their money for my project, otherwise bad things were going to happen, they were far less likely to give it to me. So I learned to be able to pitch my ideas without sort of seeming desperate or needy, which was a huge advantage. And then what was interesting is when I transitioned into television in Hollywood, I moved down to Los Angeles, got into the television game. And it was really surprising because the simple nature of the way I was pitching TV shows and my lack of like sort of overselling them really resonated, and I developed this system. And that system over the last 20 years, selling hundreds and hundreds of television shows and pitching thousands of ideas, I just sort of learned, you know, how to do that. And that's what became the 3-Minute Rule. We used to use that as the rule when we were pitching TV shows. We were making promo tapes. Everything had to be under 3 minutes because, you know, you'll have a very short attention span. So it just all started to come together from there.
Well, you know, that really applies to the markets that we operate in with Investor Brand Network and the Stock to Me podcast. We always say investors have the attention span of a gnat. And I would imagine when you're pitching new television show ideas, you've got basically the same kind of audience. I mean, Hollywood's got to be a huge pressure cooker. And that's where the 3-Minute Rule was born from. Tell us a little bit about what is the 3-Minute Rule.
So the 3-Minute Rule, it's pretty simple. It states that everything about your business, product, or service must be conveyed clearly, concisely, and accurately in 3 minutes or less. And in those first 3 minutes, you got to capture and maintain your audience's attention. You got to drive engagement. And if you can do that in those first 3 minutes, your audience will be infinitely more compelled to hear past that. They won't make that yes or no in their mind as quickly when you do it right. And that's the big problem right now. And Hollywood was exactly like that. I remember a very specific time I was in the lobby of CBS and I was going to go pitch, and out of the pitch room walked Simon Cowell. And it was just like, I had this sort of dread as we said hi. I was kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe I got to follow him into this room. Like, that's going to be awful, right? And then as we were chatting, he was looking over my shoulder and I turn around and there's Mark Burnett had walked in, and he was going to be the meeting after mine. And it was like, oh my God, I'm wedged between these two superstars who are, by the way, still as much bigger than I am proportionately as they were back then. So it was an awful feeling. And I remember going into that meeting thinking, okay, nothing I say is going to be interesting. Nothing I'm going to say is going to impress the president of the network. I got to just pitch the idea. Here's what it is. Here's how it works. Here's why we think it's good for CBS. And here's how we're going to produce it. And get the hell out of here. And that meeting lasted less than 9 minutes and they bought the show. And I remember thinking like, wow, that was amazing. I got to do that more often. And my agent was like, oh my God, that was the greatest pitch ever. And so I started to get this reputation around town over the years of having the greatest and the best pitches. And you're so excited to have Brant come in and pitch. And I was like, I'm not doing that much work. Like, I'm just not wasting your time and saying dumb stuff that you don't care about, right? Like, and from the investor world, that's a really similar process. And that's where I started in the business community, is I was helping small cap public companies prepare their investor pitches for their roadshows. And the difference was like night and day. And I would have people calling and leaving me messages on my phone saying, "You changed my life. I can't believe how great this is. And now we've completed our raise." And I was like, oh my God, no network television president ever said I changed their life. Like, I need to do more of that. And so 5 years ago, I started making the transition where just helping and consulting and creating for companies in this world. And it's been like unbelievable rewarding.
Well, listeners, I want you to learn more about Brant. It's easy to do so. You can just Google his name, Brant Pinvidic, but you can also go to brantpinvidic.com. Last name spelled P-I-N-V-I-D-I-C. Again, there you can go off to his Twitter, to his Facebook. Brant, we mentioned you're an author. We're talking about your book. I also want to transition into an article that you did for Forbes here in the month of July, talking about your work as one of the top virtual trainers in the country. And of course, we're living in a new world. The global pandemic that is COVID-19 has pushed business into different areas, and some people have been very prolific with it because they were able to transition quickly, and other people have been bogged down. Give us your take on what you're seeing since mid-March.
You know, it was interesting because I was actually at the beginning of March. I was on a big stage doing a huge keynote. And as I was traveling home, it was as the COVID thing started to really pick up. And I was like, ooh, this is weird. And within a couple of weeks, every single one of my speaking gigs for the next 3 or 4 months just canceled. And it was like, whoa, that's crazy. And almost immediately, my sort of inbox got flooded with companies and CEOs and salespeople just trying to figure out, like, how do they make their presentations more dynamic online, because that's how they're gonna have to do that. And there were a lot of companies who had never made a presentation online ever. Like, that's just not how they worked. And so starting from scratch, how to do that. So I started helping companies with that, in which the irony is I've been doing that for years. I mean, you know, in Los Angeles, you can't drive to every single pitch meeting. And I was running one of the largest production companies in LA. So like, we were pitching literally hundreds of shows a year. So I can't be driving all day, every day. So I had to develop a system of how I could pitch a show as if I was in the room virtually. So I started training companies on that. The biggest thing that I saw and that everybody's feeling is like, people are just not performing on Zoom. They are literally lowered the bar on their expectations and their delivery to the point where it's embarrassing, where it's like people are 6 inches from their laptop camera with AirPods or microphones hanging out of their faces with dogs and kids running in the backgrounds in a t-shirt in the kitchen. It's just like, it's so unprofessional and it's so unplanned and it's so it's not well thought out. There's no effort made. And it's funny because I think because everybody's lowered their output level, that sort of like we all just fell into the lowest common denominator. And I'm just not like that. And so I'm training clients and stuff on how to just up the game a little bit. And I use the sort of one trip rule, like De Beers would use on their ad campaign for diamonds, 2 months salary to buy a diamond. I'm like, one business trip to invest in your virtual presentation. You know what I mean? How much would you spend on one business trip? Well, maybe you could spend a little bit of money on a camera and a background and some lights, and maybe you could spend a day, like you'd spend 5 hours on a plane. If you've spent 5 hours on YouTube figuring out how to make great presentations or set up lighting, like you'd be in the top 1% of all people presenting. And yet nobody was doing that. Nobody. And so I think that now people are having such Zoom fatigue that they are sort of desperate for that next level up. So I sort of created that whole system to show people like how you could level up your virtual presentations.
Well, I've mentioned your work in Hollywood. Brant's been incredibly successful. Hit series Bar Rescue was brought by him. Extreme Weight Loss for ABC was brought by Brant. Brant, you also won Best Documentary Short for Why I'm Not on Facebook. And you also did Why I'm Not on Pokemon Go. But you took that all and you created your podcast, which I got to listen to just today. So let's talk a little bit about your work as a podcaster and what you're bringing to the table with some of these great minds that you're speaking with.
From a curiosity standpoint, that's how the Why I'm Not brand was born. You know, I couldn't understand why people liked Facebook. I hated it. My kid wanted to join it. So I decided to do this documentary film to expose how bad Facebook was. And then as I went through the film, spoiler alert, but I find out that it's really maybe not Facebook's fault, all these issues. It's my fault. Like, I have my own issues of why I was scared of it, right? And so it was interesting to learn that, like, just because I didn't agree with it, or I just because I thought it was silly, it may have been me being the jackass and not it. And I found that I could do that across the board in a lot of things that I didn't understand. Pokemon Go, when my kids were wildly into it, was the same thing. And I sort of paused and I was like, okay, well, I don't really understand why this is popular, but it's got to be something. And so I started doing that as a process. I looked at all the things in the world today that are popular, that people enjoy, that I just didn't understand. And I went into it with an open mind, thinking like, okay, well, just because I don't understand doesn't mean that it's not good or that it doesn't have value. And so I started building that as sort of the brand. And then as the business side of what I do just kept growing, I ended up looking at, you know, how I could expand on those interviews. And then I started doing that for business, where it's like, I like to look at businesses and the people running them and the ideas and the intellectual property from a different perspective. Like, who had that idea? Who would do such a thing? Like, and that's been really fun, getting a chance to interview some of the great sort of business minds of our generation.
Well, very good, Brant. Let's talk about where you are right now with so many things on your plate here in 2020. And, you know, we're going to hopefully come out of this thing, this COVID-19 pandemic. Maybe talk a little bit about what you're up to today and what you hope to accomplish here in 2020 as, again, we hope the curve flattens and we're out to hit the roads again.
I've spent the last couple of years really redefining sort of my business and life goals. The television thing was great for a lot of years. It was a very good living and all of those sort of elements, which is great. But I just found that as I started to help more people, more companies, it was a little bit more rewarding in that sense. I'm kind of like a caveman. My ego is easy to fill. So I really like that kind of stuff. And I just started realizing, like, I'd spent so many years, the past 20 years, chasing money, chasing sort of fame, fortune, credit, acknowledgement, that once I kind of got off that treadmill, it's kind of like, oh. So I started a nonprofit organization where I do a travel and adventure club, where I take executives from all over the world, and we do fun, cool adventures to bond, and just things that you, when you're in the center of work life, you don't balance well. So I'm really focused on that. So I'm doing a lot of outdoor stuff with the COVID thing. I'm sort of getting out of the city a lot and staying away from things. And so I'm having a lot of fun with that. And I still do a lot of training. Like, you know, I have a lot of small businesses and a lot of small cap public companies and a lot of startups that just need help conveying their idea, making their investor presentations, doing their decks. And it's just like, it's kind of the thing that I like doing the most. And I've even like scaled back a little bit of my big corporate coaching stuff because I want to have a little bit more time for the smaller business and the startups. And I've had some really good luck with that. So I'm going to focus on that quite a bit over the next 6 months.
Well, you talk about having balance to your life, and you talk about what drives you, having that caveman ego, as you put it, that I can really relate to that. You know, we're men that want to drive and push ourselves. But as you speak to some of these great thinkers, do you pick up on any salient themes with all the people that have impressed you over the years?
I think that one of the big pieces is that there's really no shortcuts. And that's hard for very skilled people to understand, is that there's no short way, easy way to get where you are. And like, I make the joke on stage all the time, it's taken me 20 years to learn how to say things in 3 minutes. And it's because like the expertise that you have to develop to be exceptional at something is really hard. And what a lot of really well-skilled people do is they do really good at a lot of different things. And in today's world, really good is just not good enough. And focus and attention in all of the big, sort of the big players that I've worked with from a client standpoint or from an interview standpoint, they all sort of have that mindset where they get into a focus and they become excellent at something. And they end up exponentially doing better than the really good person at six different things. And that used to be me. And I've sort of evolved past that now. And it's been really helpful to try to get my sort of focus down on what is it that I do? What is it that I don't do? And I'm not trying to be good at a bunch of things, because again, good just isn't good enough.
Well, let's go back to the 3-minute rule then. Let's talk about who would benefit from reading this book. Is it not just for the salesperson? Couldn't the mom working from home? I mean, everybody can benefit from this book, but give me your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's even better for general business than it is for salespeople. Salespeople usually are so stuck in their scripts and their specific systems and their narrow niche clientele that sometimes it's like you could tell them all the systems in the world, they can't change it, right? Like I worked with, I worked with a very big entertainment company in Las Vegas on their timeshare properties. And they're trying to revamp their timeshare pitches because it's really hard these days to get people to sign up for a timeshare by tricking them, right? So it's been a real struggle because the scripts and the systems are so ingrained into their world that it's like getting them back off is really hard. Whereas for normal, everyday business people, anybody looking to convey their ideas and turn that into somebody else's understanding, anytime you want to influence anybody, understanding the basic elements of how we make decisions, how to restructure your information in the flow of how we rationalize decisions helps overwhelmingly, because at the end of the day, we are bombarded by marketing, we are bombarded by promises, and we just tune it out. And someone who can simplify their message and speak clearly and plainly and confidently, like, cuts through the clutter and will be the loudest sound that people hear. Is this simplified message.
Well, listeners, I want you to have the opportunity to get your signed copy of the 3-minute rule. Go again to brantpinvidic.com and enter to get your signed copy of the 3-minute rule. Say less to get more from any pitch or presentation. Well, Brant, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's been a great joy to be able to speak with you. What an opportunity, listeners, for you to learn more about what Brant does. Again, I just Googled his name, Brant Pinvidic, and it comes up. But social media, he's all over it, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can learn more about him, his great book, as his website, brantpinvidic.com. Brant, thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it.
We want to thank you for tuning in to the Stock to Me podcast, and we look forward to having you on our next podcast soon.
The following Stock to Me podcast was an Investor Brand Network audio production. IBN is a financial news and publishing company delivering a new generation of corporate communication solutions, including news aggregation and syndication, social communication, and enhanced news release services. Investor Brand Network may receive payments for corporate communications relations, as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its clients. IBN holds no shares of any company named on the IBN sites, brands, and/or podcasts. To be clear, all officers, directors, and independent contractors of Investor Brand Network hold zero positions in and do not trade or intend to trade the securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, or should it be construed as, investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with the registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This podcast audio interview by Investor Brand Network is not intended to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used and statements of fact have been obtained from featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by Investor Brand Network as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at investorbrandnetwork.com.